A setback for Netflix and other on-demand services operating in Europe. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The European Court of Justice has ruled against Netflix, forcing it to pay a German film tax. Netflix had argued the tax wasn't applicable because its subsidiary is already based in a European country. Francois Goddard is with Ender's Analysis in London.
There are European countries where TV broadcasters have to spend a share of their turnover on local production. And this has been going on since the 1980s, so it's not surprising at all. Now, what is new is that European states are increasingly trying to impose these rules on giant American tech companies. Up to recently, there was some sort of informal alliance between the European Commission and the giant tech companies because the European Commission felt that these companies were accelerating development of the e-economy. Now the wind has turned and there is a much more critical stand, notably because there is a feeling that digital players have been gaming the system with taxes.
And we've seen it as well with Facebook and privacy. What kind of an effect do you think it's going to have?
I think Netflix feels that the regulatory knot is tightening and they were just trying to test the system. I would point out that there is a very similar rule to the German rule that is applied in France that was created 2 years ago. And Netflix did not pick up France, they picked up Germany. Maybe they thought that Germany would be easier and the reaction would be less nationalistic.
Francois Goddard. Let's do the numbers. Asian markets fell after North Korea threatened to pull out of a U.S. summit if America insists on denuclearization. Shares were also hit by weaker-than-expected Japanese growth figures. Meanwhile, Irish gambling firm Paddy Power Betfair has said it's in talks to merge with U.S. fantasy sports site FanDuel. It comes after the Supreme Court overturned a ban on sports betting in most U.S. states. Now, Kimberly Clark, General Mills, Procter & Gamble. Kellogg's is the latest company to pull out of Venezuela. On Tuesday, Kellogg's announced it was closing its factory there due to epic inflation and lack of raw materials. And then President Maduro made this announcement.
Hoy en Maracay, la empresa Kellogg's.
Today, the Kellogg company in Maracay, in the hands of Mexican investors, closed its doors and paid social benefits to the workers, which is absolutely unconstitutional and illegal. The labor minister and the economy minister arrived immediately, opened the company and handed it over to the workers, and the company is continuing production with the industrial working class.
Industrial. The president faces an election on Sunday. He says Venezuela's economic crisis is a foreign conspiracy. Now, the Kellogg's factory could face the same future as Kimberly Clark's diaper and tissue factory seized in 2016. Its 1,000 workers, financed by the government, continue to produce sanitary products. Kimberly Clark has filed a formal request with the World Bank's arbitration body for legal action, even though Venezuela withdrew from the mechanism back in 2012. Zimbabwe is preparing for a national election, the first since Robert Mugabe was ousted last November after nearly 40 years in power. And it could be a fresh start for many of the country's white farmers who were violently forced off their land. The BBC's Vivian Nunes reports.
We've got here just over 6 hectares of potatoes. A lot of wildlife here. There are leopards here, a lot of hyenas, obviously baboons and monkeys, a normal sort of game.
Darren Smart and his family were forced out of their farm last year. The man who seized the property was closely aligned with former President Robert Mugabe. When he was forced out of office by the military, the Smarts were told they could return to their land.
Our new government, you know, straight from the president, told us to get straight back on the farm. The military and the police have been extremely helpful. So it's been amazing. I mean, the sudden change, it's been very good.
Farm manager Tremora Ushi says he too was relieved when the Smarts returned.
I'm very, very, very happy because I was getting something from Smart to keep it for my family.
Many other farmers I spoke to say they're still suffering from the notorious land reform policies introduced by Mr. Mugabe.
My name is Mark Alistair Connolly. I grew up in Fig Tree, Zimbabwe.
Mark Connolly is planning to leave Zimbabwe 4 years ago, a top aide from the governing ZANU-PF party claimed he had the right to take over the Connolly's farm. The Connolly family fought their case through the courts. The matter was eventually thrown out. Then in April of this year, their house was ransacked.
Everything had been stolen, down to tea sets. Every cupboard had been broken into.
Since the government-sanctioned land invasions began 18 years ago, Zimbabwe's agricultural output has dwindled. President Mnangagwa knows that if he's going to revive the country's economy, restoring commercial farming is vital. He's invited farmers to take out 99-year leases on new plots. But critics like Ben Freeth point to the fine print, which says government will retain the right to reacquire land with 90 days' notice.
These leases are not the collateral that farmers need, or the banks need for that matter, to be able to create the development.
Deputy Land and Agriculture Minister Davis Marapira says things are changing. Many in Zimbabwe and beyond will be watching closely to see if change really is on the horizon. In Zimbabwe, I'm the BBC's Vivienne Nunes for Marketplace.
Finally, if you're a Japanese whiskey connoisseur prepared to hit the rocks, Hibiki 17, famously drunk by Bill Murray in Lost in Translation, runs out in September. Just too much demand. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.